It's The Unbelievable Truth with your host, David Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to The Unbelievable Truth, the panel show about incredible truths and barely credible lies. I'm David Mitchell. Let's crack on because there's four very excited people in front of me, but enough about the audience. Please welcome Ian Smith, Celia AB, Angela Barnes and Alan Davis. The rules are as follows. Each panellist will present a short lecture that should be entirely false, save for five hidden truths which their opponent should try to identify. Points are scored by truths that go unnoticed, while other panellists can win points if they spot a truth or lose points if they mistake a lie for a truth. First up is Ian Smith. Ian is a comedian who says his defining characteristic is always being stressed. So just to reassure him, we're pretty sure we've cleaned up nearly all of the dressing room asbestos. Ian, your subject is breakfast, the first meal of the day, usually eaten in the morning. Off you go, Ian. Fingers on buzzers, the rest of you.
All cereals claim to have hidden health benefits. Quaker Oats promise to increase lung capacity, Grape Nuts claim to tighten loose teeth, and Bran Flakes said they could eradicate piles. What is true is that, according to scientists, women who eat breakfast cereal in early pregnancy are more likely to have a boy, whereas porridge and cinnamon are linked to the birth of a girl.
Alan.
I've always been interested in piles. I've had for about... about 30 years. So I want to know if that's the case. I'm going to say that that's true about bran flakes.
It's not true.
Oh, it's no, so disappointing.
They neither eradicate piles nor claim to eradicate piles.
Cornflakes were originally invented as a way to help maintain erections. National newspapers at the time coined them hornflakes. During the Second World War, cornflakes were used by the French Resistance, who replaced the toys inside with guns for local partisans. Thank you. Weetabix were originally devised as a way to torment prisoners of war, supplying them with the nutrients they need to stay alive, but with absolutely no joy. The puzzles on the back of cereal packets were initially an idea from the CIA to find potential future recruits. If you can spot the differences between two pictures of a cartoon monkey, you can dismantle an Iranian terror cell from the inside.
Angela.
I regret this already, but but intelligence agencies do recruit using puzzles, so maybe they did on cereal packets.
No, not on cereal packets.
Yeah. Bloody stupid thing to say.
Yeah. Alan.
Are they putting weapons in boxes of cereal?
No.
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 Have you said anything?
Angela.
I know that at some point cornflakes were supposed to stop young men masturbating. That was the idea of cornflakes.
Right.
But I wonder if to counteract that, they maybe said that they helped you maintain an erection.
But so they'd stop you masturbating by giving you an erection. An erection for so long that you just get sick of masturbating. Like, I can't keep doing this. Absolutely red raw.
Through, David.
No, they didn't ever say cornflakes. No claim, no pro-erection claims have ever been made about cornflakes.
Captain Crunch was only promoted to captain in 2023 after years of lying about his military ranking to impress women on the uniform dating app. Rice Krispies' iconic snap, crackle and pop catchphrase has been translated into many languages. In Swedish, it says piff, paff, puff. In Dutch, it's clip, clackle and clop. And in Japan, it's urusai, 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 which simply translates as noisy, noisy, noisy.
Celia.
One of those, please.
Yes.
I think it's piff, paff, poof.
You're absolutely right, Celia. Yeah. In Sweden, the Rice Krispies characters Snap, Crackle and Pop are known as Piff, Paff and Puff, the sound the cereal is supposed to make when milk is added to the bowl. Internationally, the characters' names vary by language. In French, you can tell me if this is correct, Celia, but apparently they're Crick, Crack and Croc.
It sounds better in my voice.
Please.
You ready?
Yes.
Crick, Crack, Croc. I'm sorry, I've made the audience horny.
It's not the effect of Rice Krispies at all.
For every Frosted Flakes or Cheerios, there are cereals that have flopped, like Milk Chuds, Banana Wackies, Magic Melons, Jug Jugs, and Collins Kumquat Flakes. As far as I'm concerned, you can eat whatever you want for breakfast, but please be a cereal eater and not a cereal killer.
At the end of that round, Ian, you've managed to smuggle four truths past the rest of the panel. Which are that a claim was made by grape nuts that they tighten loose teeth. Charles W. Post, the creator of grape nuts, which actually contained only baked wheat, claimed the cereal could, quote, cure appendicitis, malaria and tuberculosis, feed the brain and even tighten loose teeth. Not sure the even is correctly placed there. I think the appendicitis, malaria and tuberculosis cures are more impressive. And the second truth is that women who eat breakfast cereal in early pregnancy are more likely to have a boy. This is according to a 2008 report in The New Scientist. In the study, 740 pregnant women in the UK provided records of their eating habits before and during the early stages of pregnancy. The data showed that 59% of women who ate cereal daily had male babies. However, Dr. Alan Pacey, a fertility expert at the University of Sheffield, cautioned, quote, I would urge women not to start starving themselves in an attempt to influence the sex of their baby. The third truth is that Captain Crunch was only promoted to captain in 2023. Before his promotion, Captain Crunch was pictured on the cereal packets with just three yellow stripes on his uniform sleeve, indicating the rank of commander in the US Navy. After complaints from eagle-eyed consumers with absolutely nothing to do... After those complaints, to celebrate his 60th anniversary, Quaker Oats finally altered Captain Crunch's sleeve to display four stripes, promoting him to the rank of captain. So that's a heartwarming little... and the fourth truth is that Banana Wackies was the genuine short-lived cereal brand of all the ones listed by Ian. It was a US oat-based cereal containing banana-flavoured marshmallow bits. Yeah, just to keep the health up. released by General Mills in 1965. And that means, Ian, you've scored 4 points. The two Kellogg brothers who invented cornflakes had very different ideas about the cereal. Dr. John Kellogg was a medical reformer who believed that eating the cereal would suppress their sexual urges, whereas his brother Will Kellogg was an astute businessman who, in designing the packet, chose to illustrate it with a massive cock. OK, we turn now to Angela Barnes. Angela was the first ever contestant to win all 5 days in a week of Richard Osman's House of Games. A spectacular effort, winning her prizes with a total value of almost £11. Angela, your subject is shopping, the activity of visiting shops or browsing online to examine, compare and purchase goods or services. Off you go, Angela.
In the Staffordshire Potteries in 1963, a veal calf broke out of his transporter and went berserk in a gift shop, causing thousands of pounds of damage and giving rise to the saying, like a bull in a china shop. I can, however, confirm that this refers only to bovine bulls, having put the theory to the test in Bedfordshire, where a bull elephant successfully negotiated its way around a china shop with zero breakages.
Celia.
Is that true?
The Bedfordshire bull elephant.
There's no elephants in Bedfordshire.
Well, I mean...
Have you checked?
So you, this is a... So what do you think's true? You did a buzz. What do you think's true?
The veal one.
The veal calf, coining the expression, bull in a china shop, it's not true.
Well, that's interesting, because I meant the other one.
I mean, you can buzz again. But it...
Shall
Angela,
I continue?
Okay. Continue.
If you live in Great Yarmouth and want the best sandwiches, you can pay a visit to the local bakery, Inbred.
Ian.
I've been to Great Yarmouth, and they seem like the sort of place that would call a bakery Inbred.
Well, they're not. Angela.
The village of Wallington in Hertfordshire is so posh that only proven intellectuals are allowed to work in their retail businesses. Penicillin discoverer Alexander Fleming had a brief stint as the village pharmacist. Stephen Hawking claims that it was while working a summer in the quiet village post office that he began to question the meaning of time. And George Orwell ran the village stores where there was so much CCTV, he was inspired to write 1984.
Alan.
So one of these is going to be one, isn't it? I mean... I'm going to go Fleming worked in the pharmacy.
That's not true.
Okay. I'm going to get George Orwell, please.
May I hear your buzz? George Orwell, that's correct. George Orwell ran the village shop in Wallington, Hertfordshire between 1936 and 1940. Orwell's village shop proved a success, allowing him to focus on his writing without the pressure of finding an income. Orwell noted that running a food store was much easier than a bookshop, as, quote, people do not hang around for hours.
Here are some shopping tips for you. If you go into any supermarket over 30,000 square feet on a Sunday, tell them you're a Christian and ask for the Sunday opening compensation discount and they legally have to give you 20% off your shopping. Clothing website Boohoo will have you covered if you're out of stock of your size, as Katrina from South East London discovered when she ordered an out of stock size 16 bikini and was sent two size 8s instead.
Ian.
I just think the sentence about the 20% discount was so detailed, and I'm thinking, is Angela just coming up with that madness by herself? So I think that's true.
It's not.
Oh. Sorry, mate.
20% off your shopping for saying you're a Christian.
Oh, well, you've got a big, you've got a big bit of paper with all the answers on it.
I've got a lot of respect for what you guys are going through, but sometimes, honestly, on a Sunday, the very day that many Christians think you shouldn't shop.
The yeah. clues were there if you look for them, mate. They're there.
Anyway.
And if you need to buy bubble wrap, get twice as much for your money when you buy it from Amazon because they wrap their bubble wrap in more bubble wrap. Waterstones The Bookshop has recommended a Woody Allen biography as an ideal Father's Day gift, Mein Kampf as an ideal Christmas gift, and have an OAP discount on Prescription for Murder, the true story of Harold Shipman.
Alan.
The Mein Kampf one.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In 2011, the Huddersfield branch of Waterstones recommended Mein Kampf as the perfect present for Christmas in a festive display. So, yes, thank you, Angela. And at the end of that round, Angela, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel, which are, and I'm sorry about this, Celia, in Bedfordshire, a bull elephant successfully negotiated his way around a china shop with zero breakages. In 1997, as part of a charity walk, Woburn Safari Park walked three baby elephants down Woburn High Street, with one of them, a three-year-old 850-kilogram bull elephant called Raja, entering and successfully negotiating himself around a china shop without breaking a single item.
I'll never feel shame for believing women.
The second truth is that Katrina from South East London ordered an out-of-stock size 16 bikini and was sent two size 8s instead. In a similar blunder in 2019, Cherie Scanlon, a 45-year-old mum from Coventry, ordered a £1 number 5 candle from Tesco to decorate the cake for her daughter Charlotte's 5th birthday and was astonished when Tesco delivered two number 2 candles and one number 1. And the third truth is that Amazon ships smaller rolls of bubble wrap wrapped in bubble wrap. And that means, Angela, you've scored 3 points. In 1988, Antonio Gomez made the Guinness Book of World Records by standing completely motionless in a shop for 15 hours, 2 minutes and 55 seconds. He was also named B&Q's Employee of the Month. Next up is Celia A.B. Celia grew up in Paris, but started her comedy career in the UK. In a recent interview, she cited a long list of British comedians that have inspired her. Alan, Angela and Ian are just three of the names that aren't on the list. Celia, your subject is the brain, the organ inside the head that controls thoughts, actions, senses and bodily functions. Off you go, Celia.
There are very few mysteries when it comes to the brain. The biggest mystery that brain scientists are working on right now is trying to understand déjà vu. If you don't know, déjà vu is the name of a French DJ who only plays songs you've heard before but don't know the name of. Not only is the brain the biggest muscle in the body, it is also the most fragile. Some brain injuries can result in the patient craving only gourmet foods, becoming incredibly skilled in martial art, or wanting Greenland so bad. The brain is easily hacked, and if you could get in there, it would be a relatively simple process to control an entire person. And if you've ever wondered what it would be like to control animals, just get your electrodes from the shed, attach them to the right part of the brain, and you could potentially jet ski on a dolphin or instruct a pigeon to fly left, right, up, down, or hopefully away.
Ian.
Can you use electrics to get a pigeon to do what you want?
You can indeed.
You cannot get a pigeon fact past a northerner.
In 2007, Chinese scientists at the Shandong University of Science and Technology found they could control a pigeon's flight by implanting electrodes into the bird's brain, effectively mimicking the bird's natural flight control signals and allowing scientists to direct the pigeon to fly right, left, up or down. The report does not specify exactly what purpose these remote-controlled pigeons might serve.
The biggest mystery that brain scientists are working on right now is trying to understand déjà vu. If you don't know, déjà vu is the name of a French DJ who only plays songs you've heard before but don't know the name of. The part of the brain that controls emotions is called the primary frontal cortex. And good news for British people is that neuroscientists have recently discovered that instead of just suppressing the emotions, like you usually do, you can actually just switch them off entirely. What's more, by turning off the emotion receptors in the brain of animals, these scientists have created a mouse who isn't scared of cats, a guide dog who can speak simple English, and a rat that can cook.
Ian.
Is it the first one that the mouse or the rat who isn't scared of cats anymore?
The mouse who isn't scared of cats?
Mm.
That's absolutely right.
Yay.
Yes, in 2007, same year as the pigeon experimentation in China, scientists at the University of Tokyo succeeded in turning off the receptors of a mouse's brain that react to the smell of its chief predator, resulting in a mouse that is no longer afraid of cats. The researchers confirmed a long-held belief among scientists that fear in animals is directly connected to their sense of smell.
When it comes to human intelligence, size matters. The bigger the brain, the smarter you are. When they unfolded Einstein's brain, they found it covered a small dining table compared to a standard-sized unfolded brain, which just covers an ironing board.
Angela.
Does a brain, if you unravel it, cover an ironing board?
It does indeed.
Oh!
A small ironing board, don't get excited. If unravelled, the surface area of the human cerebral cortex would be roughly 2,500 square centimetres, the size of a small ironing board, such as the IKEA Jarl.
When you die, the brain stays active for up to 3 weeks after passing. Scientists have reported that someone who is medically dead could still solve a pretty simple Sudoku. Most people choose to be buried without their brain. John F. Kennedy was buried without his, and no one knows where it is.
Ian.
I think he wasn't buried with his brain.
You're absolutely right. Though a portion of the president's brain was obviously lost due to the headshot he sustained, following the autopsy, what remained of his brain was fixed in preservative, placed in a stainless steel cylinder, and stored in the National Archives. However, 3 years after his assassination, it was discovered that the brain, along with other autopsy materials, had gone missing. According to The Guardian, quote, conspiracy theorists have long suggested the missing organ would have proved Kennedy was not shot from the back by Lee Harvey Oswald, but from the front. Kennedy's missing brain remains have never been recovered. So, you know, you
until
search
today.
Your garage, search your attic. And that's the end of Celia's lecture. And at the end of that round, Celia, you've managed to smuggle one truth past the rest of the panel, which is that some brain injuries can result in the patient craving only gourmet food. Gourmand syndrome is a rare neurological condition affecting people with injuries to the right brain hemisphere that causes a sudden craving for gourmet or high-quality food. The syndrome was first described in the late 1990s. And he's also misnamed. Why is it called Gourmand syndrome if it's for it's different, isn't it? A gourmand is just a greedy person. A gourmet is someone who wants posh food. They've misnamed the syndrome. Anyway, Celia, that means you've scored 1 point. A salamander can have its brain removed, cut into slices, shuffled, minced, put back in again, and still function as normal. A trait it shares with Liz Truss. It's now the turn of Alan Davis. Your subject, Alan, is pets, domestic or tamed animals kept for companionship or pleasure. Off you go, Alan.
Sarah Jessica Parker had a miniature schnauzer called Sarah Jessica Barker. It was David Lloyd George who presented the young, pet-loving Queen Elizabeth with her first Welsh Corgi as a birthday gift. The smallest of the breed, with a natural herding instinct and an unfortunate habit of biting and barking loudly while mating, Her Late Majesty spent exactly 70 years on the throne. In 2014, a pet corgi won the National Hero Dog Prize after successfully detecting a gas leak and saving the life of his owner.
Celia.
I think this is true.
It's not true, no. A corgi has never won America's National Hero Dog Prize. Never.
The corgi has long been known for its gas detection skills. Sadly, the following year was a poor one for canine bravery, and in 2015, the National Hero Dog Prize went to a cat.
Angela.
Did the National Hero Dog Prize go to a cat?
It did. Yes, in 2015, a cat named Tara made history by becoming the first cat to receive America's prestigious National Hero Dog Award. Tara earned the honour after defending her six-year-old owner when he was attacked by a neighbour's dog while riding his bicycle in the driveway of his family home in Bakersfield, California. You can still see a BBC News report of the incident on YouTube entitled, quote, Super Cat Saves Boy from Dog Attack in California.
Can you repeat that headline, but in the style of Mary Poppins, please? It sounded like you're saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Okay, super cat saves boy from dog attack in California.
There's no way that's a coincidence.
No.
Whoever's written that as thought, yeah. It would be mad if I get away with this. Yeah.
After several attempts, Harry Houdini successfully managed to train his pet terrier, Bobby, to escape from a pair of miniature handcuffs, ropes and a straitjacket while locked in a coffin underwater. The dog was called Bobby the 15th. Vidal Sassoon owned a pet orangutan called Vidal Baboon. Because dogs and cats are so long-lived, they are the most common possessions to be passed on in people's wills after they die. For example, it's said Steve Irwin's tortoise Harriet was previously owned by Charles Darwin and Sir Isaac Newton.
Ian.
I think Steve Irwin maybe did have a sort of famous tortoise that was owned by Darwin.
You're absolutely right, he did. Yes, Steve Irwin owned a giant tortoise named Harriet, which, according to his Australian zoo, was collected from the Galapagos Islands in 1835 by naturalist Charles Darwin when she was just the size of a dinner plate and lived in England before being relocated to Australia for its warmer climate. After spending nearly 100 years at the Brisbane Botanical Gardens, Harriet was moved to the Gold Coast, where she lived with Irwin at his family zoo. Harriet eventually died at the remarkable age of 175 when she was the size of a large dining table.
Or a small ironing board.
She was the perfect size to have a brain unwrapped on top of her shell. Alan.
Katy Perry had a pet cat called Kitty Purry.
Celia.
I really regret doing this, but because he said it three times, maybe one of them is through. Maybe Sarah Jessica Barker.
I mean, Sarah Jessica Barker is a long way back. That is, I'm going
yeah,
to tell
like
you,
to think about
that
it.
Is too late to buzz
okay.
on Sarah Jessica Barker, which is good news for you because it's not true.
Okay.
After Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy owned a pet shop that sold a pointed-eared Burmese cat called Mr. Spock and a Scottish terrier he called a Beam Me Up Scotty. Kenny Dalglish owns a pet shop in Glasgow and even sells an own label dog lead he calls the Kenny Dogleash. Paul Daniels had a pet parrot who he taught to say, "Help, he's turned me into a parrot."
I mean, and that would be a Angela. Great thing to do. I really want Paul Daniels to have done that.
Well, I'm afraid he didn't.
Oh.
No. No, he had a pet budgie as a child that was killed in a Second World War air raid, it says here. So that's the closest he got. Failing to protect his budgie yeah. from fascism.
I like it. But not a lot.
And that's the end of Alan's lecture. And at the end of that round, Alan, you've managed to smuggle three truths past the rest of the panel, which are that Harry Houdini trained his pet fox terrier Bobby to escape from ropes, a straitjacket and a pair of miniature handcuffs that was specially made to fit him. Bobby could also perform card tricks and do somersaults. The second truth is that Katy Perry had a cat called Kitty Purry. The long-haired cat with tabby markings was a rescue cat and was owned by Perry for 15 years. And the third truth is that after Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy owned a pet shop. Best known for playing Spock in Star Trek, he opened a pet shop called Leonard Nimoy's Pet Pad after the show was cancelled in February 1969. And that means, Alan, you've scored 3 points. When a Rottweiler breeds with a poodle, the offspring is known as a Rottipoo, and the act is known as without consent. Which brings us to the final scores. In fourth place, with minus 4 points, we have Celia A.B. In third place, with no points, it's Angela Barnes. In second place, with 1 point, it's Alan Davis. And in first place, with an unassailable 4 points, it's this week's winner, Ian Smith. That's about it for this week. Goodbye.
The Unbelievable Truth was devised by John Naismith and Graham Garden and featured David Mitchell in the chair with panellists Ian Smith, Angela Barnes, Celia AB and Alan Davies. The chairman's script was written by Dan Gaster and Colin Swash and the producer was John Naismith. It was a random production for BBC Radio 4.
And looking ahead to